This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 45 minutes after the hour. We're almost done here. What a fast-moving show today. It's crazy. And now joining me, Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, I don't think we've talked yet since the Russell Wilson thing went down. The Broncos are a completely different team since the last time you and I chatted.
In the best possible way, Brady. The Broncos just went from bad and boring to great and fun, and it's going to be like this for the next 5, 7, 10, 12 years.
Wow. How about that, man? What a roller coaster Tuesday was. You go from, oh, maybe Rodgers is going to be a Bronco, and then you go to, nope, he's not, and out of nowhere, I think anyway, we get the deal done for Seattle's Russell Wilson. It was absolutely crazy. Talk to me, Zach. Was Russell Wilson, because you're hearing a lot of mixed reports, was Russell Wilson ultimately their number one choice, or was he the second after Aaron Rodgers?
What I was told, Brady, from actually multiple different sources inside the building, was it truly was. They were both option one, and then there was a huge drop-off after. And from what I was told, the Broncos started really getting the sense last week that Aaron was going back to Green Bay. Weren't sure about it officially. So one of the things they started to do was they really started to do their research again on Russell Wilson. They had talked to the Seahawks a few weeks ago about Russ, and there were some players that George Payton did not want to include in that deal, so he said, no, we're not doing that deal. Then they circled back around starting last week, and one source said that even this past weekend, they didn't know who they were going to get, but they were pretty confident they were going to get one of those guys. And then I think they found out Aaron was going back on Monday, and then on Monday is when the talks really, really heated up and a deal was almost done by Monday, got finished on Tuesday, and the rest is history.
Man, Zach, was this news to you? Because all I'd been hearing, I mean, I didn't think Rodgers was going to be a Bronco, and I think you were kind of on that camp too, but I was kind of hearing that Seattle was digging their heels in as well, that they were pretty adamant they weren't going to move on from Russell. So was this a shock to you, or was this one of those things in the back of your mind where, like, that's still a very realistic possibility?
Yeah, I think it was more so of a dream possibility for everyone when thinking about this. And, you know, Russell was my number one quarterback in dream world in terms of who the Broncos could get this year more than Aaron. And the reason is he's 5 years younger. He's a guy that wants to play until he's 40, even 45 years old. Now, does he play till 45? Who knows? But if he plays till 38, that's 5 years. That's more than they'll get from Aaron Rodgers. If he plays till 40, that's 7 seasons. That's definitely more than they'll get from Aaron. And he's a guy that's been with a defensive-minded head coach, a coach that's wanted to run the football more than pass, and he's still been a Hall of Fame quarterback. What's he going to be with Nathaniel Hackett, who's going to let Russ cook, a guy that's going to let Russ throw the ball first and foremost instead of run? That's what gets me so excited.
Yeah, no question, man. I mean, and the age thing is a big deal because, I was a little skeptical at the price for Rodgers, wondering, okay, well, is he going to go 2 years? What's that look like? And again, at the end of the day, it's Rodgers or Wilson. You're going to get a great quarterback. But with Russell, it does feel a little bit more like a no-brainer because he's 33 years old. You've essentially got your franchise quarterback now.
You do, and it's not crazy to say that Nathaniel Hackett and George Payton may not have to get another quarterback in their tenure. If Russell Wilson plays for 10 years, George Payton may retire right after that. Just say, well, won a couple of Super Bowls, was able to build a great team. I'm not going to make the mistake John Elway did of trying to find a great quarterback after. I'm just going to retire on top. And this is something where they may not have to worry about the most important position in sports and, honestly, the most difficult to find for another decade, which is just so huge. I joked about it earlier this week on social media. But it's honestly true. You might as well give George Payton and Nathaniel Hackett extensions right now because they're going to look that good with Russell Wilson.
Wow. How about that, man? I mean, we go from wondering what this Broncos team's going to look like, and, you know, can they get in the playoffs? What's that stage look like for Denver? Can Hackett be the guy to grow this team? But now you're not in really a growing process anymore. You're in, hey, we've got our guy. Let's build around him.
Yes, exactly. And the Broncos are in win now and win in the future, which is so nice, because if it was Aaron Rodgers, the Broncos would be desperately in win now mode right now. They would be mortgaging the future. Broncos don't have to do that. You know, the Broncos should absolutely expect to make the playoffs this year. I think the bar for them this year, if they win a playoff game, this is a wildly successful season for the team. If they make the playoffs, it's not going to be an incredibly disappointing season. But if you have Aaron Rodgers, your window is 1 to 3 years, 4 maybe, but that even feels like a stretch. You got to be, you know, going to the NFC or the AFC Championship game this year for it to be a success. Next year, you have to win a Super Bowl. Next year, in my eyes, the Broncos should be competing for the Super Bowl, but let's say they get to the AFC Championship game and lose to one of the other great AFC teams. It's not a disappointing season. Your window's not closed. You still have 5 to 8 more years after next year.
Yeah, and that's the thing I was going to ask you next, Zach. Do you see this as still being a slow, and I don't want to say slow build as if it's a bad thing, but this isn't quite like the Peyton Manning deal where it's like, okay, you got Manning, you got him on a 5-year deal. Who knows how long he's going to last? Let's go all in. Let's build, get free agents left and right. Do you see the Broncos saying, you know what, we can take our time. We don't have to overspend on an A-list player.
Yes, I don't think that George Payton is going to go out and be reckless. However, I think he's going to be aggressive, and that's exactly what he did with this Russell Wilson deal. He was aggressive by going and trying and getting a quarterback, by going and trying and getting two quarterbacks. He didn't get Aaron Rodgers. He got Russell Wilson, but he wasn't reckless. He did not give up 3 first-round picks like I would have been willing to do. He didn't give up Pat Surtain or Javonte Williams like I would have been willing to do. Instead, he played his cards just right, and that's what I expect him to do in free agency. He's going to go after some big-time guys, but he's not going to overpay them. He's not going to give Von Miller just a blank check and let him write it. In fact, I think fans are a little higher on Von Miller than the organization actually is. I'm not saying there's no chance Von comes back, but if it were up to fans, Von would have $20 million. He'd be back on a 4-year deal. I don't think that's how George Payton is going to approach it at all. And that's how he's going to approach free agency. That's how he's going to approach the draft. And when you look at it, the Broncos with Peyton Manning, you're right. They went all in right away. And in that first season, they didn't win a Super Bowl. And in the end, it was still a successful season from what they were. But you look at the past 2 Super Bowl champs, new quarterbacks. Tom Brady won it 2 years ago on his first team with the Bucs. Last year, Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl on his first year with the Rams. Who's to say the Broncos can't do that?
Yeah, no question about it, man. I mean, it changes things completely. All right, hot market free agent guys. I mean, Bobby Wagner's up there, certainly. I know that inside linebacker's big for them. Right tackle's big. There's a few in this at the top of this class. What do you see happening? Do they go in? I don't know what they have left in cap space, Zach. Is it like $26 million or something like that?
Exactly. Nailed it.
So you're going to get, you know, if you wanted to, you could get 2 really good players, if you think, or several pretty good players.
Yep, exactly. And again, I think that George is going to be very aggressive, but not reckless. So they may land a big-time player, but you're going to be impressed with the deal. It's not going to be a crazy, crazy deal. And again, that's just why I don't see Von getting that deal to come back. Chandler Jones is another edge rusher if you want to go for a big-time swing. And then with the tackle position, I think that should be their number one priority. I'm just not sure a great right tackle's out there. And heck, if it were me, I'd go out and get Armstead from the Saints and make him my left tackle, move Garrett Bowles to the right side. That just may be too big of a move. And so I see George Payton building this team kind of the way he did last year, just with a lot of great pieces all around and really plugging every hole.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Armstead thing. I think go all in there. Your utmost importance now is protecting Russell Wilson. You have some weapons. You like your weapons. And I think that's the big deal. Zach, my man, we are pressed up against it. It's been a blast, as always. A short one today, but we'll see if we can catch up with you for a longer discussion early next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love it, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider, and I'm with him. I think you spend up. You pony up. And you try to get a tackle in free agency, and you could move Garrett Bowles around. Armstead could play left tackle. So I'm totally okay with that. I think that would be the move at this stage. 54 minutes after the hour. Wow, what a show today. Fast moving. I mean, we were 15 minutes late. We had a great preps game on the program, so that was fun with Clark and Coach Bruce Dick rocking and rolling as always. And then we jump in. and we get Kevin Lytle talking CSU with us. We get Coach Steve Smiley talking about their game, the Bears game tonight against Eastern Washington. And then Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, talking to us about maybe the Buffs can do this thing. Arizona and Stanford are duking it out right now. If Stanford pulls off a win, oh, that would be who the Buffs would play. Yikes. How about that? And look at this. Boston College is beating Miami 47-41. Anything can happen in the conference tournament. I'll be back at 5 o'clock for our College Hoops tip-off show. Kevin Lytle joins us from Vegas. Tanner Schwint jumping in as well. Do not leave KFKA. You are going to regret it. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado. Continue here on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. A big night tonight. We have the UNC game on KFKA tonight. UNC Bears taking on Eastern Washington in the second round of the Big Sky Conference Tournament. And we're looking forward to seeing what this Bears team can do. You know, UNC has had a pretty good season. You know, obviously they've had some head-scratching moments this year, but for the most part, a very positive season. Can they take care of Eastern Washington tonight? I think if they can do that, I just feel like Eastern Washington is a tricky team for them, but I think if they can get past them, they got a really good shot to win this conference tournament and then go dancing. So wouldn't that be special? That one, 7:30, the pregame starts here on KFKA, followed by the tip-off just after 8 o'clock. Jerry Schimmel will be on the call. You can listen to us online, too, if you're not in the car or whatever. It's 1310kfka.com, so make sure you check us out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Bama Bear texting in and about the Bears. Nervous, but very excited for the Bears to put in the work tonight. Watch out for Dalton Kanect off the bench, and Dalen is going for 25 at least. Yeah, I'm looking at Matt Johnson. I think Matt Johnson's going to be a key contributor tonight. Obviously, he gets second team all-conference, a tremendous player. I think the Bears kind of got robbed. You know, Dalen Kuntz got first team, but he didn't get Big Sky Conference Player of the Year. Matt Johnson gets second team. I think they got robbed a little bit. This Bears team's a little bit better than that. But you ask Coach Smiley, he says, hey, we use that as fuel. We use it as fuel. So big one tonight. You've got Boise State, Nevada going at it right now in the Mountain West Conference. I know that's an interesting one. It's on the other side of the bracket for CSU, but certainly something to pay attention to. Eastside Chris texting in. Oh, yeah, so what do you think here? A Mount Rushmore for the Broncos at quarterback. I mean, how big is that? Russell Wilson's pretty much already on the Mount Rushmore for Broncos, but he hasn't played a game yet. So it's all, like, hypothetical. I mean, he could be terrible next year, which I don't see that. But, again, odds are two good, even just two great years with Russell, you're already going to say he's one of the best quarterbacks the Broncos have ever had. So you go Elway, obviously. Peyton Manning, even in his short stint, yes. And then ultimately, it's probably going to be Russell Wilson. Who's number four? Some say Craig Morton. I didn't see the Craig Morton stage, but, you know, he said Chris says, hey, Morton was the first quarterback to give Broncos country a reason to feel that we belong. And you're right. You're not wrong on that. But Jake Plummer, when Jake Plummer was a Bronco, when he was the starting quarterback, they went to the playoffs. He was there for what? 3 years? Four? I think that third year he was there, or fourth year he was there, was the Cutler year, and he ended up getting benched at some point. But in his three real years as the starting quarterback, they went to the playoffs, all three. They got smoked by the Colts 2 years in a row, and then they the next year, they made it to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who went on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, Jake Plummer, at that stage, that year anyway, I recall he was, I mean, halfway through the season, he was kind of like the midpoint MVP. So it's weird that Plummer would be on a Mount Rushmore, but, you know, not a lot of teams have great quarterbacks, like a collection of great quarterbacks. It's not a very common thing. In fact, when you look at it, you know, I was looking at some of the teams that have the best collection of quarterbacks. Like the Packers have Starr and Favre and Rodgers. Obviously, that's an amazing lineup. The 49ers with Montana and Young. The Cowboys with Staubach and Aikman and White. But not a lot of teams have a collection of like three or four amazing players. The Broncos, assuming Russell Wilson pans out, you could be looking at ultimately, you know, the greatest collection of quarterbacks for one team. And that's amazing. That's a crazy stat line or crazy stat for you, right? They had Elway, Manning, and Russell. I mean, think about this. Broncos fans, we've kind of been spoiled. Now, 6 years of, you know, we've earned it maybe. 6 years of bad stuff happening to the Broncos. Maybe the Broncos have earned it. But you've had John Elway. You've had Peyton Manning now. And now you get Russell Wilson. That's absolutely crazy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Not a lot of teams have like three or four from the 970. Drew Locke is number four for sacrificing himself for Wilson. That's pretty good. You could put him up there. I'll tell you what. How about this question? If Jay Cutler would have stayed in Denver, and let's just assume that Cutler had the same stats as he had with Chicago in the bigger portion of his career, would Jay Cutler be on that? Yeah, he would be, right? If Jay Cutler never left, never was traded, and had the same exact stats and numbers and accolades that he had as the Bears starting quarterback, would Jay Cutler be number four? He was on his way. I still wonder what would have happened if Cutler would have stayed in Denver, if Josh McDaniels didn't ship him off to Chicago for Kyle Orton. I mean, nobody's arguing that, right? That was a terrible move by McDaniels. Jay Cutler for Kyle Orton? Nuts. But I do wonder if Cutler would have stuck around. You know, would it have meant something more? Could he have been a big-time player for this team, for the Broncos? Mike Shanahan was so high on Cutler. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What do you guys think on that? I think it's a fun conversation, man. You know, like I said, not many teams can look at this and say that they have a Mount Rushmore, that they can actually fill a Mount Rushmore that's respectable. I mean, the Cowboys probably could, because they have Staubach, Aikman, White, and I mean, you're probably going to throw Romo there for now. But that's a respectable Mount Rushmore. Not a lot of teams have three or four historically good, maybe Hall of Fame or close to Hall of Fame type quarterbacks. They just don't. The Broncos now have three. And, you know, Jake Plummer, I would say, my vote would be Jake Plummer. Again, that was in my era, more or less. It's a fun discussion to have, though. And again, when you look at this, it's like we went through so many emotions on Tuesday. You go from no Rodgers, or thinking you're getting Rodgers, no Rodgers. You're thinking you're stuck with Drew Locke and that experiment, or maybe a draft pick, still very much unknown, and then Russell Wilson. And I was watching NFL Network, Pete Schrager of Good Morning Football. Great program, by the way. If you haven't watched it, get up early and watch it. Pete said that the Broncos in Seattle were talking at the Senior Bowl. Like, they were starting on this project at the Senior Bowl. That means, folks, all of you saying, well, funny timing. They released the information. They were just waiting to see what Rodgers was going to do, and then they pulled the trigger. It's not really how it works. You have to have these deals done It's not just like when they announce it, sure, but there is a lot of negotiation and all of that that takes place throughout the course of this the negotiation process. But Pete Schrager, very much in the know, said, yeah, this guy, the Broncos, George Payton, they were talking to Seattle at the Senior Bowl, trying to work this thing out. So it started then. Russell Wilson was always the choice. And I think that's fascinating. It was Rodgers, Broncos, Rodgers, Broncos, Rodgers, Broncos, till we were blue in the face. I mean, it was every report you saw was the Broncos are the choice if he leaves Green Bay. It's clear that Rodgers was just using the Broncos as a leverage point. And I don't think there's anything, like, I'm not one of those guys that gets bitter about it. So it happens every day. This happens in sports. This is what happens. But it was Russell Wilson the whole time. Pretty crazy deal, right? First Advantage, text line 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is up at theholeshow.com. Who has the better shot of winning tonight, or today, I should say, in their first round? Wyoming, Colorado, Colorado State, or the University of Northern Colorado? Who has the better shot of moving? I actually think all four are moving past the first round. How about that? Or second round, excuse me. Their first rounds. Let me know what you think. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk Buffs next. We hit Rams. We hit the Bears with Coach Smiley. We'll talk about Colorado and their matchup against the Oregon Ducks next with the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. So don't go anywhere. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Mark Johnson coming up next.
To win cash for that flawless bracket, join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge for your chance to win $500. Keep listening to 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cephalu Fowl, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 21 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Man, we're having some fun today. What a Thursday. What a Thursday. So many teams. All this madness before the madness, I should say. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, before a couple hours away, 2 hours away. So we know we're you're pressed for time, Mark. So we do appreciate you jumping on with us, my friend.
No, happy to do it. I fit right in. It's March Madness, and I'm mad all the time, so I fit perfectly.
You can't be mad where you are now, though, right? I mean, you got great basketball happening nonstop.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, we got here yesterday afternoon. I went over and caught a little bit of the action. We're straight, so it's very convenient. And I just been this morning doing game prep, and when you guys call me, I'm just about to walk in and ready for the broadcast. We go in here at 3:00, and then the tip off between the Buffs and the Ducks at 3:30 this afternoon. So yeah, a lot of fun. And you know, Oregon played well yesterday. Yeah, they played decently, shot the ball very well. Oregon State didn't defend one lick yesterday. So the Ducks get by that opening round game, and now we'll see if the Buffaloes can take care of them this afternoon.
Mark, it's interesting. I had a feeling. I kind of liked the Buffs in this game before, but then when you get the news about Will Richardson, I look at this and say, here is you never wish ill on anybody or anybody to get hurt or anything like that. And I know he's sick right now. But you look at this and you think, man, this is a very winnable game before Will Richardson. Now you got to feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, well, I wish everyone felt that way. Vegas has got Colorado as a one-point underdog.
Interesting.
So think of that for a second. But, yeah, Will Richardson, outstanding player. I guess he's out with mono, is what I was told. They called it COVID or non-COVID-related illness, and I was just told this morning it was mono. I talked to one of their folks. So he's out. Jacob Young's been playing exceptionally well. Now, he's the kind of guy that without Will Richardson being out there, their number one guy, he's kind of hunting for his shots. So he's kind of figuring, you know what, this is my time. But they're obviously a very talented team. Buffs split with them this season. Here's your key to the ball game: transition in this one. Oregon does not like to get into a half-court set. They want to run. Colorado's transition defense is going to be enormous. And then Colorado running against them, because a lot of times transition teams are not great transition defensive teams, and that's the case with Oregon. So that's something to watch in this ballgame today.
Yeah, no question. When you look at this the last time around, obviously they split, so you can take some positives from it. And I always think at the end of the season, you obviously learn a lot more from those losses. So when you go back to that, take you way back, February 3rd, when Colorado lost to Oregon 66-51. Can you give us enough from that game, Mark? I mean, what was it really that was going wrong for the Buffs in that game?
Well, think about what's happened since then. Colorado, I think, after that game, I might have my numbers off, but they're close. It was like 5-7 in league play, two games under 500. I think Oregon at that time was 10-4 or something along those lines. Colorado's gone 7-1 since then. They're as hot as anybody in the Pac-12 coming into this tournament. So what did they learn? Playing with energy. The one game they didn't, Arizona State, they played awful without energy. They beat number two Arizona 48 hours later. And in this morning, in fact, I was with the team when they went over some scouting report, and Tad was talking to his guys. He said, guys, what did we learn? Between Arizona State and Arizona, what do we learn? Play with energy. Play with intensity. Play with purpose. And I think that's the biggest thing this team learned. Maybe some of that from the Oregon game, they really learned it a little later on. But, yeah, they're playing exceptionally well right now, and I don't know why that has to change here this afternoon.
Yeah, you're right. Other than that that tough one against Arizona State, the Buffs were almost perfect after that loss. So they took that loss. They learned from it, and they went on and put themselves in such a great position that they went all the way up into the rankings to earn that fourth seed. So something clicked after that Ducks game.
Yeah, without question. And so I think what it is, it's just a natural maturation of a young team. We talked about it all season long. This is why you don't judge a team halfway through the season. Wait until the finished product is out. So here Colorado sits at 20-10. I know there were a couple of times this season a lot of Buffs fans are scratching their head going, oh, man, I'm not sure Ted, getting the job done. I'm not happy with this. And yet here we are, maybe the hottest team by record coming into the Pac-12 tournament. Another 20-win season. They won 12 games in the non-conference play, I should say. Won six road games when it was all said and done. So it's always about how you finish, not how you start. I think that's been a good lesson for this young basketball team.
How much is this team going to be relying on their guy, on their senior, Evan Batty?
Well, simply they will from the standpoint of being the rock in the foundation.
Yeah.
But without question. I just walked in. In fact, when you guys were calling me, I walked in. They've always got across the front of the T-Mobile Arena here, they've got photos of some of the marquee players across the conference. The one they got out there from Evan Batty, and I got that. I was going to pull up the broadcast this afternoon on social media. He's the guy. He's the, what's the old line from Stripes? He's the big toe, right? Remember that one from Sergeant Holka? He's the big toe for this team. And he's been a guy all season long. And I've talked with every one of these young guys about learning from watching Evan, how he conducted himself, how he led. During the scouting report, Tad's turning and looking at Evan, and Evan's making comments. And if you watch, Evan wants to be a coach, obviously. We've talked about that. If you watch him even on the sideline, he'll be coaching the team. He does that in those meetings. He'll step up and make comments. Nobody else does. And you've got to have a lot of cachet if you're a player. McKinley Wright used to do that. Josh Scott did that years ago. When you're that kind of player, you can do it, and that's why they'll lean on him, and he's kind of the heart and soul of this thing.
Yeah, and you're right. Obviously he's such a solid player, but mentally I think that's where he's really going to step up. And as we know, I mean, he wants to be a head coach too, so being able to be that player, kind of almost player coach on the court, is going to be big as far as the experience goes.
Well, and Brady, I was talking to Tad when we did pregame here a few hours ago, and I said to him, they handled up postseason honors. Jabari Walker, first-team All Pac-12. KJ Simpson on the All-Freshman team. Evan Batty, a second-team All-Conference player, and also on the All-Defensive team. And I said to Tad, now wait a second, there are guys you can pick out, and they're obvious All-Defensive guys. Guys are going to, great shot blockers, like Tyler Bay a few years ago was on the All-Defensive team. McKinley Wright was on the All-Defensive. But I said, Evan Batty, people don't think of that. He says, Mark, that's because he plays with his head. He's that smart. He understands. He's in position all the time. He takes charges. He's taken more charges than anybody on the Buffs basketball team. And so that's what he leads with. It's the noodle and not the rest of the body, if you will. I mean, he's such a smart basketball player, and that's why he's such a great cornerstone for this program right now.
Yeah, so Mark, so far, what do you make of this Pac-12 tournament? We know it's just it's crazy. Anything can happen. I know Stanford and Arizona are going at it right now.
Yeah, and how about that win by Stanford yesterday? 16-1, one run down the stretch. I had that game. I was down with a team function, And I was walking down the hallway, and I saw that, and I stopped, and the trainer, Ronnie Klingsmith, and I stood and watched it. When they were down 14 to 15, I looked around, and I said, this thing's over. And about 10 minutes later, he looks at me and says, guess what, Stanford won. You never know what's going to happen. Look what we've seen around the country. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. Syracuse nearly beat number one seeded Duke earlier today in the ACC. It came down to the wire without their best player, Buddy Boeheim. You never know what's going to happen. That's what makes this time of year so fun and why it's always so entertaining and awful fun to call games that way, too.
I think it's going to be a big Thursday for those Buffaloes, Mark. 3:30, we're 2 hours away. What time do you guys hit the air?
Yeah, 3 o'clock Mountain Time, we hit the air, and then 3:30, or that's what they say it is. I guarantee you, closer to probably 3:45 or 3:50. So that means your stool is going to have to do a lot of tap dancing and filling for about an extra 15, 20 minutes. But somewhere around 3:30, we'll get it underway.
Hey, I can text you some knock knock jokes or something if you want.
Yeah, I tell you what, why don't you do that just in case? You never know. You know, sometimes Wilkie's got no stories for me, so I got to come up with something. I might need some.
We'll do our best. My producer and I will put our heads together. We'll figure something out.
All right.
Mark, my friend, always appreciate it. I'm excited. I think the Buffs are going to take care of business. I really do. And we'll be talking about this Buffs team back in action tomorrow. All right, my friend. We'll talk to you. Have a good call.
All right. Take care.
There's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I do think the Buffs are winning. They are one-point dogs in this game. I liked them before their stud goes down, and I like them even more now, so that's going to be good. I got breaking news, though, Jades. We got it, man. You're going to love this news. You're going to love it. If you're a baseball fan, Jeff Passan of ESPN, breaking. Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association have reached a tentative agreement on a new labor deal, sources tell ESPN. While it still needs to be ratified by both parties, it is expected to be a formality at this point. Players can report to spring training camps as early as tomorrow. Opening day is expected to be April 7th, as ESPN's Jesse Rogers first reported. So there you go. Baseball fans, it looks like you got a deal going, and away we go. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. What does that mean? I mean, it was getting close, man. They just canceled a few more games as of last night, so getting this thing done was absolutely critical. We'll talk more about that, as well as a big Thursday coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flag.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
36 minutes after the hour. There we go. Had some breaking news moments ago that it sounds like Major League Baseball and the Players Association have reached a tentative agreement on a new labor deal. Players can report to spring training camp as early as tomorrow. How about that? Opening day is expected to be April 7th, as ESPN's Jesse Rogers first reported. So we'll keep our eyes out, and we'll see what the new agreement looks like. Yesterday looked pretty bad, looked pretty grim. I know, Jades, when you left, you're like, hey, I think good news is coming out of this thing. And then we saw that night the Rockies, I shared out the Rockies tweet that was like we were still unable, or the Rockies players side of things, still unable to get it going. So I was a little worried. But then they come back, they reverse it, and away we go. You're at a situation now where we're going to have baseball, it sounds like. And I was starting to worry a little bit, because you can't be out that long. You can't miss a month. You're missing out, man. I mean, look what's going on today. You got college basketball, just absolutely a blast. The NBA is heating up, getting ready for their big playoffs. The NHL's heating up. I know, Jades, you're a baseball guy, but you were even saying, hey, Is hockey going to overtake baseball this summer throughout the playoffs if the baseball is not going?
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't have shocked me had they have taken any more time. I still think that MLB viewership is going to take a significant hit from this. It's not a good look whatsoever. But I think their new deal with Apple on Friday nights, Apple being such a significant company, I think that kind of motivated a lot of it put a lot of leverage on the players. And I think that the owners realized what the terms and stuff really were. And they started coming up on a lot of the economic issues. They went up on the pre-arbitration bonus pool and the arbitration pool itself. So I think that really, I don't know. I just think that the players had a lot of leverage, and that's what kind of the Apple the Apple sponsor really just took off.
How many of the rule change stuff do you think? I mean, again, I know we're waiting to see what's going to happen with all that, but, you know, we're talking about the pitch count more. We're talking about a few other things, the shift and all that. How much of that do you think that they bent on?
Yeah, I really don't know. I think a lot of it was kind of, I think that was more of the minute details that they were working out. I think the biggest problem was just the economics, and now it's going to be the international draft because, I mean, that's the big talk of the town right now in the baseball world. But yeah, I think the bigger bases will happen. I think pitch clock will happen, and I think I heard that they did compromise on getting rid of the shift. So those are the three big ones that I know for sure.
Interesting. Well, I know more will come from this as we break into it. But bottom line is this, you're going to have baseball. Opening day expected to be April 7th, 40 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk more Broncos because Russell Wilson's a freaking Denver Bronco. Zach Stevens coming up next of DNVR Broncos. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.